Welcome, everyone, to our Easter celebration service. Now, unfortunately, the coronavirus is still a little too active to allow us to assemble on this most holy day, but we will not be discouraged. For Christ, who was crucified for our sins, was raised from the dead to give us newness of life now and into eternity. Alive in Christ with voices strong, let us sing Charlie Wesley's inspired hymn, Jesus Christ is Risen Today. We begin our worship in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Alleluia! Christ is risen!
He is risen indeed!
Alleluia! Our opening sentences come from various parts of Scripture. This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice
and be glad in it. Christ has risen from the dead. Alleluia! God the Father has crowned him with glory and honor. He has given him dominion over the works of his hands. He has put all things under his feet. Alleluia, alleluia. Now, my brothers and sisters in Christ, even on this festival day, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We take a moment of silence to reflect on God's word and our need for Christ, our Savior. We confess, Almighty God, Heavenly Father, we confess that we have not remained strong in faith. We have not always let the sure news of your Son's resurrection dispel the fear that wells up within us. We have thought, spoken, and acted in weakness. We have not loved you with our whole hearts. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We deserve your judgment in time and eternity. Forgive us and renew us in the sure and certain hope of our own resurrection day. When Job's righteous yearning, I know that my Redeemer lives, will no longer be a declaration of faith, but a longing fulfilled. By his suffering and death, our Lord has paid for our sins, and by his rising has destroyed the power of death. As a called and ordained servant of our risen and triumphant Lord Jesus Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We take a moment to share the peace and continue with our worship by singing the hymn of praise, Now All the Vault of Heaven Resounds.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, by the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, you destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light. Grant that we who have been raised with him may abide in his presence and rejoice in the hope of eternal glory. Through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We continue our worship with readings from Holy Scripture. Our Old Testament reading for this Easter Sunday comes from Job, the 19th chapter. Oh, that my words were written! Oh, that they were inscribed in a book! Oh, that with an iron pen and lead they were engraved in the rock forever! For I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has thus been destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our epistle lesson is from 1 Peter, the first chapter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you may not see him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with a joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Alleluia. Christ abolished death and brought life and immortality light through the gospel. The Holy Gospel, according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words. And this is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We continue our worship with the singing of our hymn, "I Know That My Redeemer Lives." Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I know that my Redeemer lives. That's our text. I heard a story of a little boy who was frightened one night during a big thunderstorm. Terrified, he called out from his room, "Daddy, I'm scared." His father, not wanting to get out of bed, called back, "Don't worry, son. God loves you, and he'll take care of you." There was a moment of silence. The little boy then said, "Daddy, I know that God loves me, but right now, I need somebody who has skin." Job knows about the terror of a child sleeping alone in a thunderstorm, but multiply that 100 times for the man whose life is in complete and devastating misery. Come with me to a God-forsaken ash heap. There sits Job with a shaved head and sores all over his body. His 10 children have all died when a tornado destroyed their home. Raiding bands from neighboring lands and lightning from the sky have taken all his animals and killed all his servants. It has reduced Job from his former position as the greatest man in the East to being a pitiful, ghastly sight, scraping himself with a piece of broken pottery. Even a dramatic and powerful thunderstorm cannot compare with what Job endured. On this day of days, Resurrection Day, we wrap up our sermon series on the book of Job. And our text is from Job 19:25. "I know that my Redeemer lives." What's it mean? It certainly does not mean that we are insulated from life's tragedies, but it also means that we're not intimidated by them. It means we have someone to walk with us through life's long, dark, winding pathways. And he's got skin on. This verse, verse 25, is the Mount Everest of Job. Let's try to unpack it. As we climb the mountain, we begin at the base camp. I know. Job is living his worst nightmare. He says in chapter 3, "What I feared has come upon me. What I dreaded has happened to me." And yet Job doesn't say, "I kind of think of," or "I sure would like it if," or "Wouldn't it be nice if," or "Knock on wood, maybe." No. Although Job has been severely assaulted, he is not defeated. Although he has lost much that was valuable to him, he still has what is most precious. Although he is down, he is certainly not out. Job dares to confess, "I know." There are a lot of things we don't know. We don't know why we had to bury the love of our life. We don't know why the child has turned against us. We don't know why we lost our job. We don't know why our parents emotionally abandoned us. And many times, we don't know what God is doing. But instead of living in whimpering sadness and letting thunderstorms terrorize us, with Job we dare say, I know what? I know that my Redeemer lives. We are climbing toward the summit even higher. Notice that Job doesn't say his Redeemer, her Redeemer, their Redeemer, or your Redeemer. No, it's personal and particular. It's intimate and individual. It's my Redeemer. In the Old Testament, we are introduced to a person called a kinsman redeemer. Kinsman obviously refers to the fact that this was a close relative. The kinsman redeemer had skin on. He was someone who would rescue, ransom, recover, or redeem everyone or anyone who had been or was in danger of being removed from the family by poverty, war, death, or a poor economy. Sounds familiar. So, for instance, if someone had fallen into debt and had sold himself into slavery in order to pay back his debts, the kinsman redeemer would come forth and buy him back his freedom. If a piece of property had to be sold, the kinsman redeemer made sure that the title of the property stayed with the family. And if a member of the family was hurt or killed, it was the kinsman redeemer who pursued the legal options and collected the damages assessed against the offender. In other words, whatever goes bad, your kinsman redeemer will make good. Let me repeat that. Whatever goes bad, your kinsman redeemer will make good. What is broken will be mended. What is sick will be healed. Whatever is lost will be restored. And what is dead will be made alive. Really? Yes. That's what Job says in the following verse, Job 19:26. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God. I know my Redeemer. His name is Jesus. And Jesus is not a mystical, abstract, impersonal, vague idea. Jesus has a strong hand to guide us and a tender heart to love us when we face our long and dark and uncertain pathways. As our Redeemer, Jesus comes not simply to see that justice is done, but that mercy is given. Jesus bears whatever needs to be borne and carries whatever needs to be carried in order to see that our wrongs are righted. If a sentence needs to be served, it will be served. He will serve it. If a fine needs to be paid, he will pay it. He does whatever it takes to set us free, even if it means giving his life for ours. Jesus forgives my guilt and destroys my grave. And he did it with skin on. Skin that felt the Roman whip. Skin that felt the blazing Palestinian sun while he carried his crosspiece on the Via Dolorosa, known as the Way of Sorrow. Skin that felt the thorns on his head and the hammering of the nails into his hands and feet. Skin and muscles and nerves that for 6 hours bled on the cross all alone in a long, dark, God-forsaken pathway to death on a hill called Golgotha. The storm that Jesus endured for us was epic, and he suffered through it alone. He felt the shocking thunderclaps that came from the sharp insults of the scribes and the Pharisees. He felt the electrifying jolts that came with the whips and beatings from Roman soldiers. He felt those paralyzing bolts that came from Pilate's denial of truth and Peter's denial of being a follower of the Redeemer. Most painfully, from the cross, he felt the heart-stopping, damning dread of being forsaken by his heavenly Father. And finally, he felt the sudden flash of current from Satan, who had stalked our Savior, took aim, shot straight, and killed him. But 3 days later, this cry rocked the world. I know that my Redeemer lives. And now we are blessed to stand at the very peak of this mountain of faith with a glorious view of every eyewitness of our Lord's resurrection. We can now see everything. The angels announced, "He is alive." John outran Peter to an empty tomb. Mary cried out, "Rabboni, teacher." The Emmaus disciples recognized the risen Christ in the breaking of bread. And when he saw the scars of this living Redeemer, Thomas climactically said, "My Lord and my God." Death is dead. The grave is defeated. Job's confident faith in this his darkest hour is now ours. I know that my Redeemer lives. Do you recognize what this means? I'll tell you. It means the free gift of eternal life, which Jesus, our kinsman Redeemer, has given, is absolutely yours and mine forever and ever. People saw Jesus literally. They didn't see a phantom or an experience, a sentiment. I often think how shallow and empty are funeral eulogies when you hear people trying to soften death's intense pangs with phrases such as, "Well, she'll live on in our hearts." Christ followers wouldn't say that. That's because they saw him in the flesh, and that's because Jesus was physically and factually resurrected from the dead. Because of Jesus' life, suffering, death, and resurrection, we are a people who live by grace. Say it, church. We live by grace. Grace is an amazing gift of God that he gives us. It tells us that when everything is going wrong, at the very core of our lives, where we are really the most wrong, all is right. Because God forgives all our sins. Grace is that gift of power, the power to be freed, to be the person God wants us to be. Grace is the promise that on the days when we can barely cope with the circumstances of life, that we can carry within us the faith that tomorrow will be better. Grace is the love poured out upon us so that our debts are paid. We are released from slavery and our brokenness is repaired. What's it all mean? It means that whatever your dark pathway looks like, and whatever your enemies are saying, you do not walk alone. You and I have a kinsman redeemer who will make all things right. The hymnist really said it best, didn't he? He lives, all glory to his name. He lives, my Jesus, still the same. Oh, the sweet joy this sentence gives. I know that my Redeemer lives. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.
We confess our common Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. We confess, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell, and the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We continue our worship with our gifts and offerings. Christ is the Lord of life, raised up by the Father. In his turn, he will raise us by his power. So let us pray to him, saying, Christ our life, save us. Lord Jesus, light shining in the darkness, you led your people into life and give our mortal nature the gift of holiness. May we spend this day in praise of your glory. Lord, you walk the way of suffering and crucifixion. May we suffer and die with you, and rise again to share your glory. Son of the Father, our Master and our Brother, you have made us a kingdom of priests for our God. May we offer you our joyful sacrifice of praise. May we take a moment of silence to remember those whom God has laid on our hearts. King of glory, we look forward to the great day of your coming in splendor, that we may see you face to face and be transformed in your likeness. Certain of our Lord's resurrection and confident in his steadfast love for us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you peace. Amen. Now go in that peace to love and serve the risen Lord. Thanks be to God, I know that my Redeemer lives. And we sing our closing hymn, Alleluia, Jesus is risen.